Man, what's up, everybody? How y'all doing? It's another Friday night at Churchill Smoke Shop. It's another episode of Good Brothers Community Podcast. I got my right-hand man, my partner in crime, Mr. P. Powell to the third Powell, Mr. Preston Powell the third.
Man, what's going on, Chad? It's always good to be back with the Good Brothers. And this Friday, we got a special guest here, the head scound.
Scound the generals,
the however the you general. Want to call it, the whole other corner. Yeah. Abraham broke him. Before we get started, everybody know. Spoken at Prime today. His surgery was successful. So we'll go smoke one of, I believe, Coach Prime cigars today. So, Abe, how's it going, brother? Good to have you on the podcast.
Everything's good on this side of the earth. Just finished up a hectic week, you know. I'm just glad to be with you all tonight.
Man, say no more. I can dig it.
Well, Chad, you know, the topic of discussion is going to be the topic that's on everybody's mind all week. The submarine. Ocean Quest. No, we were chopping it up yesterday. You know, you don't want to dance on anybody's grave, so you're not doing that. But at the same time, it's still worth a discussion about some shit we ain't finna do. It's not finna happen. And I thought, hey, you had brought a good point up yesterday concerning, you know, the way things happen in this lifetime, you know, and there's reasons why we. Historical reasons why we never got involved in certain things, you know.
That's right.
You go ahead and elaborate a little bit more on that.
Yeah, you know, the thing about, especially with current events, you know, a lot of times there's a disconnect because culturally, certain activities are not traditionally things that we have participated in. You know, when you talk about exploration, thrill seeking, other activities that many others regard as fun, you know, in the Black community especially, we haven't been afforded that opportunity because we have spent the last 100 years or so trying to survive. And, you know, maybe in the last decade or last generation, we have gotten into more of the fun things, but, you know, exploration is not one of those at this point.
Right, exactly. We don't do adventures for adventure's sake. It's a myriad of things you ain't gonna catch us doing. Hanging out in the woods in the middle of the night, you know, you hear a bump in the night, we want to go investigate. Nah, none of that's going on around here at all.
Man, yeah, that whole thing is like Mission Impossible fail.
Yeah.
I ain't doing that. I'm gonna barely get in the kiddie pool. Tomorrow I'm going 25,000 feet under the sea. What that a book called 25,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
That's
a book.
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Oh, I said 25,000. Yeah, that's still far enough.
Yeah, right.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah, Jules Verne wrote the book 20,000 Leagues Below the Sea, and even then it was considered, you know, fantastical or fantasy. You know, some of the things that were contained in there. I believe in that novel that the idea of a humongous octopus that would develop a vessel and all that, all the fears that people had was below the sea because a lot of people just didn't know, you know, and we really don't know the extent of what lies in the sea beyond what we've gotten in recent years.
5% of the sea has been explored. This is totally, you know, it's, I think we know more about space than we know about the oceans. So that's 100% true. You know, but you know, it brought us up, I mentioned to Sharita, because you know, a lot of people are focusing on the amount of money. And like I explained to her is, you can't focus on that because everything's small to a giant. You know, we see $250,000 because you don't have $250,000. You think that's a lot of money to do that with, but it's actually not. There are things we spend money on in our life right now that some people will say, oh, how can you spend that much money on that? Look, we have one thing right here, cigars. When we spend
You know, everything that goes along with it, Preston, you know, the scotches, the bourbons, you know, going out to the club, you know, you popping balls in the club. We paying $250,
Look, somebody drink it, Irk and Jerk. They see that.
They're gonna drop their head. They're gonna be sad.
Was that double wood or was that that Caribbean?
The double wood.
Oh, yeah, double wood. Yeah. So if you're getting double wood, you know, you spend some pretty good money.
So. Right, right. And so some people, that'll be a problem, you know. You know, but you know, the real thing is, I was explaining to somebody before, there is actually no cultural significance, no social significance of the Titanic to Black people. It's just not. We have no, I mean, and to go see it, there's been enough documentaries done on it, you know.
But Preston, I'll say this, it does have a significant meaning. I'm going to tell you why.
All right.
Because the Titanic represents failure and death and what not to do.
Well, that's true. They're damn sure right about that.
Because them folks down there trying to find Aquaman. Them folks trying to find where Aquaman stayed at?
Atlantis.
That's it. Atlantis.
Yeah, and the whole concept of Atlantis came out before we even had the ability to go below the sea. You know, these things were written by people who were just fantasizing, using mythology and their own imagination. So, you know, we're not that far removed from that. You know, if you look at the last probably 40 or 50 years, you know, Jacques Cousteau probably did the most to really publicize, you know, deep sea life or whatever.
Yeah.
And still, there's tons that we don't know, you know. And Titanic, that whole fiasco that took place like 1913 or something
like that,
you know, and they built it as an unsinkable ship, but obviously they were wrong, you know.
very wrong. No, hey, so since we got you on, Abe, you know, a lot of people on the podcast, especially going out, they might not have a familiarity with your background in cigars. You used to run Renegade Cigar Shop, and you're currently the rep for GTO Cigars. You can get some people some insight on the industry and stuff like that. Abe is like the cornerstone of the cigar industry here in the state, really. He's been in the game a long time, and he's got several relationships with several different companies, but he's still in the game here, you know, holding down the corner at Churchill. So you give people some insight on your background and things like that.
Okay. My background primarily revolves around luxury. You know, I got into cigars, you know, hanging out at golf courses, and you go to the pro shops, they always will have a humidor. And I was curious, you know, so I went and I asked a couple questions. The guys didn't know much, but I knew money. And the cigar started at like $7. This is back in probably 96, and went up to 12, 15, 18. So I know I did one of each. You know, I had $20, so I bought like a $7 and a $12, you know, Podagus and something else that was simple, probably in the same line. And I just gave it a shot. You know, at that point, I didn't have a cigar cutter. I didn't have a set of scissors, a punch, anything. and you know, even though I had seen cigars in the movies, in cutters and stuff, it didn't dawn on me that I would have to open the cap some kind of way. So my first cigar, I stabbed with an ink pen, you know, and I continued to stab them until I got to a cigar shop where somebody said, "Hey man, why don't you get you a cutter?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, okay."
Yeah, well, that's how everybody start pretty much. You know,
you look at 19, 20 years old, you know,
right.
You know, I had been to like cigar shops like when I lived overseas, you know, as a kid, you know, but you know, as far as being around, you know, men who were smoking, you know, that really didn't start taking place until probably a couple years later. Actually, Havana, a smoke shop, rest in peace, he would have a piece at the Ned's Forum. It was like a jazz bistro. It was like a jazz night at Ned's Bistro. And you know, I go out there on Thursdays, and he would have a selection. And I always pick a couple cigars from him, and we were allowed to smoke indoors back then. So
yeah,
we would listen to music, you know, have some appetizers or whatever. And so that became a every Thursday thing. And he introduced me to the idea of, yeah, you don't have to just get cigars when you go out of town or, you know, on vacation. You know, we got a cigar shop that's right around the corner. And he invited me to come by and check them out.
That's a good deal. And for most of you that not in the area, you know, beyond that, as Abe grew in the business, he actually ran Renegade Cigars, which took over after Habana, the first cigar shop in the state, after it closed. And right. they had a good run. That's where we all used to hang out before Churchill even existed. And that's, you know, in fact, I would say they had the best design because they had it in an old bank. I mean, they had the vault set up. They had the separate offices where different brands had their own shelf space and their own offices, stuff like that. That was pretty nice setup, real nice. And then y'all had like a like almost like a beer emporium with all those imported beers, right?
Yeah, well, we did an installation that we revolved at 50 different beer varieties,
right?
And you know, depending on supply and demand, you know, is what we chose. And we, of course, you know, you got two major beer distributors in the Jackson area, you know, got Capital City and Southern Beverage. Right. And we had friends in each organization, and they helped us to curate a list of some of the things we found interesting based on different beer types. We had the pilsners, we had the lagers, we had the IPAs, we had stouts, you know, just right. different things. And we even had some varieties of shandies, you know, beer that's kind of laced with fruit juice, you know. And we tried different things, and as the state allowed us to bring in higher alcohol content in beer, we started going ultra premium with some of our selections. Some of our selections actually were served in 750 milliliter bottles, much like a fifth of a wine or liquor.
Right.
So that's a real interesting concept, that you're not just guzzling out of a bottle. You get you a fancy glass to pour your beer into, and you're finding how different ways of enjoying your beverage that way. Yeah, I know it was a fun time.
Right. It definitely was that poker nights and all that. So, you know, looking into the future, you know, we've seen this game come, the cigar game come from, you know, very few minorities participating in it, and to now it's like open seasons all over the place. Where do you see it going this next 10 to 15 years?
Okay, the biggest difference, you know, if you fast forward 20 years, you know, is the amount of media that's present, you know, in the, what you would call the boom days. Yeah, we had Cigar Aficionado. It's a periodical that's edited by Marvin Shankin. You know, that is pretty much the gold standard in the industry, you know, but now you have smaller magazines, you know. Yeah, like Cigar Snob, you know, you have some of the online periodicals. Then you got the bloggers, and you know, you have the professional bloggers, and you have the hobbyists, you know, and some of them who I call fanboys, you know. they look at the advertisements, and they try to sample the different goods, right. And just like any other product, you get swayed by advertising.
Everybody does.
There's a lot of word of mouth, and a lot of opinions are based on, you know, how pretty the product is, or my personal interaction with an industry leader. If I meet an owner or a representative, and I get a free stick from them and have a good conversation, I'm likely to talk that product up.
Right.
Okay.
So, Chad, that's about it we got today. So, you got anything else you want to add before we get out of here?
Oh, man, just always, first of all, I want to thank the General Heads Count, Mr. Brownfield, Big Abe, we call him up here, Churchill Smoke Shop, for being on with us. I hope you'll come back. And as always, to everybody, thank you for tuning in. And remember to hit the like button, subscribe, and share as always.
Good brothers out of here. Talk to you later.
Hey, man, till next time. Salute.
All right, be good.